She's a woman who has shared with people over the years of the grace and the goodness of God and helped them to understand how God could bless their lives. And I'm real glad that she's going to be sharing a testimony of God's grace in her life in the recent days. Nancy Bodie, I think most of you know her.
I've been looking forward to this day for the last several weeks because God has been so wonderful to us. Isn't He not just wonderful to us these last few days, but forever? He's been so wonderful to us. And all we can do is just give Him praise and thanksgiving. And I told Daryl when he asked me to share, I said, well, honey, the only thing is I've got bushels. And this is such a little bit of time. I don't know how much I can get in. And he said, well, just start. So that's kind of what I'm going to do and see where the Lord goes, where the Lord leads us. But I just wanted to share a little bit about today about God's love and His faithfulness and His truth to us. One of the things I want to begin with is Psalm 118, which I love. But if you have your Bibles and would like to turn to it with me, Psalm 118, verses 14. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly than he does. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Because this is really his story. This is God's story that I'm going to share with you all today. Because he is a wonderful God. And one of my favorite places, too, is in Psalm 34. It's for God. You know, one of the ones was the one Daryl had up here just a few minutes ago. It's for God. His way is perfect. And you know it is. And the word of the Lord is proven. He has proved it over and over and over and over in our lives, over and over again. And Psalm 34:1 has been one of my favorites because this is the way the Lord has. He's done so much, it could not be any other way. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And you know, that's it. Because you know what? Life happens. Have you all found that out? You know, you'll be going along and everything looks like it's going great. Everything's fine. That's kind of the way it was with Armin and me, you know. We'd been busy about doing things in the kingdom and everything. We had wonderful help and everything else. And then you all know what happened to him on March the 10th. When all of a sudden he couldn't stand or walk or do anything else. And we went through the traumatic time of that, of waiting to see what in the world was going on with him. And by the way, I do have another praise today. He drove to church today for the first time in 3 months. He's back in the car driving. And so this is a great thing for him, to not be, for a man to not be able to have the keys in his pocket and that car going is a pretty traumatic thing, you know. God is so faithful. Well, God is doing a wonderful thing. And, you know, I began to think about the trial of your faith is much more precious than silver and gold. And it really is much more precious because God's got things in it we don't know about. When the suddenlies happen, you think, oh, God, what are you doing? What's happening? And so many times it's not, we look at it in such a negative way. But you know what? God is so good. He's teaching us more and more and more and more to look at it and say, Lord, I can't wait to see what good thing you've got in this. And so, you know, God has been teaching us over the years as we've walked through one place after another and one miracle after another. We've had loads of miracles. That's one of the joys of being in, you know, I just turned into my 80s. And one of the wonderful, you've got a lot of stories back there. We've got a lot of history of the faithfulness and the goodness and the mercy of God and his mighty works that he's done for us. And so our lives suddenly changed with Armin's situation. Many of you all know he'll be going to Baptist Hospital to have Gamma Knife surgery on Thursday. And we're expecting in the Lord for that. This is a new thing for us. And we know that they've told you all the dangers that go with it, which they always do. But, you know, we look to the Lord and we're looking at him and what he's going to do. Well, as we were going through all of this stuff with him and all of the experiences of looking to the Lord for him, I began having symptoms in my chest and my pain, I mean, my back and my arms. And I attributed this to sort of to Armin's situation because it was a very stressful time. And I thought, well, this is just a stress situation. Well, it continued. So I finally decided that I better go and check with Dr. Blackbill, who's my cardiologist. And he said, well, I think we better do a stress test, a nuclear stress test. So he did, and I didn't pass very well on that one. And he said, well, you're going to have some cardiocath lab work done. And so I didn't think too much about it because I'd had that done 15 years ago when I had open heart surgery. So I thought, well, okay, Lord, let's get this over and get on with it. And so when I went, they told me that I would just spend the night. And this was scheduled on Friday the 29th. And they said, you'll just spend the night and then you'll be able to go home the next day. So I said, well, that'll be great. But then another suddenly, that did not happen. And so I couldn't imagine what had happened, why they didn't do it. I came out of the surgery, and there was nothing done. And I thought, well, what's going on? Well, the doctor came in the next morning on Saturday and told me that the situation was very critical, that my situation was very, very complicated. And I said, well, why didn't you put the stents in? Because that's what I went for, was to get stents. And he said, well, because it's very, very complicated. And I said, well, what's complicated about it? He said, well, he said, all the arteries, he said, I couldn't use any bypass artery. I mean, he said, I went in, and he said, with the dye that I had to use and what we were doing, he said, it got to be too difficult. He said, I couldn't get where I was going, and you got in extreme pain, and he said, and, you know, you were throwing up, and I had to get out there quick. And he said, you see, your case is not run-of-the-mill. He said, you're one of these that, he said, you think, Lord, help me get her out of here alive. And he said, that's where I was. And he said, I didn't know, you know, I had to stop. And he said, so you've got one artery, a native artery, that I think that I can work with that has not ever been used. And so that's the one I'm sort of looking unto. And so I'm going to let you go home, and on Wednesday, I'll have you come back, Tuesday or Wednesday, and I'll do another cardiocath. And so I said, okay. And he said, then we'll see, you know. But he said, there's hope. He said, but I do want to tell you something. You will die. I thought, well, okay. He said, you know, everybody's going to die. And I said, yes, I know that. And he said, this is just something you just need to deal with. He said, this is not just a general case. And I said, well, you know, I said, I'm not afraid of that. I said, Jesus and I are friends. And I said, he said, well, but I don't want to be the gate that gets you there. And I said, okay. I don't want you to be that gateway either. But I said, you know, I'm okay. And he said, well, I'll see you then probably on Wednesday. Well, then I didn't go home the next day. The pain was increasing, and they said, well, we better keep you. So they kept me, and, you know, I had all the stuff in on all arms and, you know, the whole nine yards of all the tubes. Any of you all who've been in the hospitals know what all that's like. So I was in that situation, and so after talking with him, I thought, Lord, I'm going to talk to you about this. And so I began to talk to him about it, and I said, Lord, I'm going to just remind you of the things that you've taught me. And, you know, your word says, first of all, the trial of our faith is more precious than silver and gold. And so, Lord, there's something good in this, and I don't know exactly what's coming out. He's concerned, and then I found out our family was very concerned, because he had told them that the bypass arteries that had been used were like eggshells. Isn't that what he said? Like eggshells, and very brittle, and there was nothing he could do with them. That he had this one artery that he felt like he could use. Well, you know, they were concerned, very concerned about this, and so I didn't know how concerned they all were, but I knew the doctor seemed to be somewhat concerned. Well, anyway, I started talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you're here, and that's the thing that matters. And I said, your word says in Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. And then I said, and you know, your word also says in Isaiah 53:1-5, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And I knew that meant the power of God. I knew that the word of God had power in it. And I said, Lord, I believe your word. I believe your report about your son. I believe that you sent him to be my savior, my deliverer, my substitute. And I believe that you said that surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I believe he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, that the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And I believe that by his stripes I was healed. And I knew, remembered, because I'd been teaching in this area for many, many years, you know, and I knew that word grief meant malady, anxiety, calamity, sickness, disease, and that sorrow meant anguish, affliction, grief, pain, and sorrow. And so I said, Lord, that's what you said. And Lord, you said that that Matthew 8:17 was really a commentary on that verse, because it said that at that time that the word of Isaiah, the prophet, was fulfilled, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And that word took meant take away, and bare meant carried it off me. And so I said, Lord, you said in Psalm 103, which many of you all who know me, I've probably quoted it over your wall at one time or another, you know, that we're to praise him and bless him and forget not all his benefits. For he said that he has forgiven all of our iniquities and healed all of our diseases. He's delivered our life, redeemed our lives from destruction, and crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And isn't that wonderful to know? And that he has satisfied our mouths with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, we certainly have experienced that over the years, haven't we? You know, Armin and I have gone and, you know, we've said, this can't be this age. That's impossible, because we're just going strong, going good. And so I said, Lord, you know, you also said that we were to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that we were to lay hands on the sick and they should be healed. So I said, Lord, I keep reading about your healing, about the fact that you heal, that you went above about people all the time doing healing. And you said if there any of us were sick, that we should call for the elders of the church, have them to anoint us with oil, pray over us that the prayer of faith would save the sick and the Lord would raise him up. And I said if he's committed sins, that they'd be forgiven him. And now I said, Lord, here's a challenge to our faith. What's happening? Are we going to cave into the circumstances? Are we going to trust your word? Are we going to trust in you and trust in your faithfulness? And I told him how much I loved him and how much I loved his word. And I thanked him for his presence and his peace and his power and his goodness. And I told him that I wanted him to be glorified in and through all this process. And I reminded him of his word to Armin and me so many, many years ago when he had spoken to us, John 15. And I'll tell you what happened on that. We were asked, and this is sort of an off-the-track part of it, but this has meaning. We were on our way to Florida, and we had been asked by a church to do a marriage seminar where we would go, you know, have couples come in, and we had all of our material that we had that we'd give out, and we're prepared to do that. And we get down there, and then we found out, well, there were three churches that had decided to go together to have this seminar. Well, we thought, okay, well, maybe we can get enough material up to do it. Well, we walked in, and when we got in there, all of a sudden we saw these elderly people, and we saw all these little children. We were like, a marriage seminar? What's going on here? And it was, you know, a talk about confusion. We were like, what are we going to do? And then the leading pastor got up, and he said, well, we're so glad to have the Bodies here from Greensboro. Well, he said, they're going to be sharing in our family life conference. And we thought, family life conference? We're prepared to do a marriage seminar. What's happening? And so they said, now, Mr. Bodie, if you'd like to come on up and begin. He looks at me and says, what am I going to do? And I said, I have no idea. And I said, go ahead and do something. So he gets up and he turns to Ephesians and he starts talking about we're one body and one, you know, one faith, one body and one spirit. And so then he says, and now my wife will come up. And I was like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. I just can't believe you're doing this to me. I thought, what am I going to do? And so I said, Lord, we're helpless on you. And he said, I'm teaching you all. You can either sink or swim on the stream of my word and by my spirit. I thought, boy, Lord, you sure do it a strange way. I like to know ahead of time and have it all together. I like to have it all planned out, you know, and have my formula to work. But, you know, formulas don't work. You have to go and flow with the Spirit of God. So I said, Lord, I know that about you, and I know that this is a new place that we're walking in, and so I'm just going to put my confidence in you, my trust in you, and I'm just going to look to you because I'm determined that we're not going to sink. We're going to stay on your word. And I said, Lord, we didn't ask for all this, and we know that you love us and you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And while I don't get it, Lord, I'm determined to trust you and get all the blessings out of it that you have in store for us, whatever that means. You all have heard me say, if you got to go through it, milk it for all it's worth. And that's what I was determined that we were going to do. And I said, Lord, I've read and reread in the Gospels. I believe that you and Jesus are one, Father. And I believe that he only did your works. I believe that the words he spoke were your words. I believe that everything he said was according to your word. I believe all the works that he did were according to your power. And I said, so I believe that healing is your will. I believe that healing is your will for my life because you've been teaching me this. And I said, I know that everywhere Jesus went, he cast out devils. He healed all the sick people. And he never said to somebody, don't you know you've got to stay there and be sick a while? He didn't say that. He said that he healed those who came to him. He lifted them up. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to cast out the demons. He came to cause. He came to bring good news to people. And he came to let them know the Father's love, the Father's goodness, the Father's power, the Father's compassion. And he's still doing that. I said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, I'm believing in your goodness. I'm believing in your power, and I'm believing in your presence. And I believe, Father, that Acts 10:38 is still real today, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil healing all healing all who were sick, casting out the devils by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I said, I believe that he's still doing that today because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I said, I believe, Father God, that you're with him. And I said, Lord, you've taught me that sickness and disease came as a result of the fall of man. That when, before Adam and Eve sinned, there wasn't any sickness, there wasn't any disease, there wasn't any death, there wasn't any destruction. It was all just heaven on earth. And I said, Lord, I've read in your word that you said we could still have days of heaven on earth. And that's where your presence is. And that's the big thing, is your presence, your peace. And, you know, I said, Lord, you've given me your peace. I did. I had such peace. I didn't have any fear. I mean, that just never entered my mind to have fear to come in because I knew he was with me. And I knew his love was so great. And I knew that God had a plan and a purpose. And I didn't know what all it was that entailed, but I knew that much. And I said, Lord, I believe your word that says that without faith, it's impossible to please you. And I have faith in who you have revealed to me to be. Now, I don't know what he's revealed, what you've revealed yourself as to somebody else, but I know to me. You have revealed yourself as a father who loves me with a great and wonderful and intense love, so much so that you sent your son from heaven in order to become what I am, that I could become what he is. And he took things for me so that I wouldn't have to take them. That he came so that I could cast my cares upon him, for he cares for me. That he came so that I could come unto him when I was laboring and heavily laden. And I love the verse that Darrell used. He used the century, I think it was called the century translation, was it, honey? The century translation that says that accept his teachings, where it says learn of me. It says accept my teachings. And I thought, that's what I'm doing, Lord. I'm taking your word that you've given, and I want to put that into my life in every area, and I want to walk on that word that you've given. And I know that you never fail, but I know that without faith it's impossible to please you, and I know that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and not only that he is, but that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And, you know, and I was learning. I thought, you know, Armand and I learned years ago about the financial thing. We learned that we could trust God for our finances. We could learn to know that when he was 10 months with no job, that God would take care of us. And he did, which was impossible. Because God is the God of the impossibles. And I remember telling Darrell when he sent out the prayer request, when they knew that I was going to still stay in the hospital there for a little while, I said, Darrell, be sure and put on there, with God, all things are possible. Because with God, all things are possible. With men, they're impossible. But, you know, it's also possible for those who believe. And I thought, thank you, Lord, we've got to believe in fellowship. And I know that they're standing with me in this. And so, Lord, I mean, you know, this is you're just wonderful because you're so good. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, you've said, Father, availeth much. And I know that's not for despair and not for anything else. So, Lord, my life has been built upon learning to know you. Because, see, that's what it's all about. It's not, you know, I wasn't believing in healing. I was believing in the healer. I was believing in my God, who is my source. He is my provider. He's my protector. He's my leader. He's my lover. He's my everything. He had proven to me and has proven to me over and over and over his faithfulness, his loving kindness, that when things were just terrible, that they would, you know, as I trusted in him and as I saw what his word said to me. That's another thing. God was saying, it's not just a word. You know, this book is not just a word. It's got to be a word to me, to my heart, because I can't believe on what somebody else is getting. I've got to see it for me and hear him speak it to my heart. My child, this is for you. And so this is what he was doing with me. He said, Nancy, I've been speaking this word to you. I had people coming to me, and they had been saying, Nancy, what do I do in this situation, in that situation, and a lot of people who have been going through a lot of physical things. And I said, God's been teaching me more and more and more about his plan for us to be made well, to be made whole, and that we are to be made whole. Tanya, that goes for you too. Tanya's going through that hard place right now. But you know, and so we've got people here who are going through these difficult places where the doctors, you know, it's up to God. But God is faithful. I want to tell you people, God is faithful. He is true. He is all-powerful. He knows what's happened. It's like I told him in the hospital, I said, Lord, before this ever happened to Armin, you knew about it. Before this ever happened to me, you knew about it. And I said, for every need that we can ever have, you've got the provision. You have made all the provisions for us. All we have to do is play into you, Lord, and just look to you and see you as our source. Because I believe that with you, nothing is impossible. You know, that's what the angel said to Mary. And you know what? That's what God spoke to the heart of Sarah. Do you know what's happened to Sarah here with this old woman? This old woman who had never had a child. And the word had been given to Abraham that she was going to have a baby. And you know what Hebrews 11 says? It said she judged him faithful who had promised. Are you judging him faithful who's promised you wherever you are? Is he faithful to keep his word to you? Now, you know what? Right there, you've got an obstacle because Satan's going to say, is that really true? Has God really said that? I mean, look at all these other situations. Look at so-and-so and look at such-and-such. And that didn't work with them. And you know what? He comes to assault the character of God. He comes to assault the nature of God. He comes to assault the word of God. And he comes to assault the ways of God. And he'll say, really? And you have to say, which way will I look? And that's another thing, is that we have to realize that there's always going to be the obstacle there. That's the challenge. That's why it's the trial of our faith. Because you know what? If God gives a word, you can better believe that there's going to become an obstacle to that. Circumstances are going to say, how are you going to make it? Ray and Teresa, here he is with a job, and then her work cut back. What are we going to do? You know, Lord, how are we going to do this? And we have to say, Lord, but your word says that there's no lack to those who fear the Lord. And you stand on that when you can't see how it's going to work out. Well, this is kind of where we were. But I said, one of my favorite places, and those of you all who know me know this, is Isaiah 55. It says, 8 through 11, says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For if the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, we don't always figure out God's way. We don't always know just how he's working it. But he says that for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and return not thither, but waters the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It, what? What's it? That word? That word that he's given. That word will not return to me void, but that word shall accomplish what I please. What does he please? What did he please? What did he please for you? And he says, it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And I said, Lord, your word is true. You are my covenant God. You are faithful and you're all powerful. So, Lord, my faith is not in healing, but my faith is in you. Your word is true, and what you say you do, you do not lie. God cannot lie. And I said, so, Lord, that's where I'm staying because you're my peace and my joy. And, Lord, you are my song. And I want you to know I had a song in my heart. I had a song in my heart while I was going through this, you know. And I thought, okay, I'm not stupid. I know what the doctor has said can happen. I know that I could be in heaven tomorrow, you know, or whatever day next week. At that time, I didn't know just when it was going to be. But I said, whenever, I know that. But I said, Lord, my trust is in you because you love me. You know, that's a wonderful thing to know. It's to know he loves you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you off. And nothing can separate you from his wonderful love because he's a covenant God. Covenant means he takes, you know, when I married Armin, I got everything he had. I didn't have much when I married him. In fact, I think I had a quarter in my pocket. But that was it. But he had a car, and he had a this and a that and the other. You know, he had a good job. And I got it all when I married him. Well, you know, when we enter into covenant with Jesus as our Savior, then we get everything that he is and everything that he has that he's given to the Father's given to him. And it's ours. He said that all things are ours in Christ, that we're complete in him. How much more can you be than complete, you know? And God is just so wonderful. He is so good. Well, so on Monday, we're to Monday now. The impossible happened. And the doctor came in. Well, I've got another part of the story, and I don't know whether I can. I'll just tell you just a smidgen of this, because I want to have another whole time to tell this part. But one of the wonderful things that happened was that our children had let their children know the seriousness of the situation. And so I didn't know all this was going on, except that Melanie told me. Melanie's our youngest daughter. She had said, Mama, she said, Nathaniel and Juliana want to come down and see you in the morning. Or I think she said this morning, it was the next morning she told me, she said, they both wanted to come down and see you. And I thought, they've got exams. They can't, how are they getting away? I mean, I knew they were right in the throes of it. Nathaniel getting ready to graduate and Juliana having exams. And I thought, they think I'm going to die. I thought, it really hit me then, you know, what the children were thinking. They don't think I'm going to make it. And so then she said, and then Mama, she said, I think Daryl's children are coming, and I know Sherry's are coming at some time today, and so I just thought I'd tell you. She said, they'd like to have a special time with you. And I thought, whoa, this is wonderful, Lord. This is another great blessing. You mean I'm going to have those children all by myself, and I can talk to them individually here and tell them things I wanted to say to them. And, you know, if somebody thinks you're dying, you got their attention. And so their attention was on me, you know. And so they came in, and I said, well, Lord, this is just wonderful, because I want them to hear how great you are. And so I had the most wonderful time to go into these things. And that's why I said I need another whole time, because I can't go into all that I said to the children. But that God was so good to let me have that time with them, where I would have one-on-one with some of them, and some of them, I had several of them there together, but I was able to say it to them, and I was able to let them know, hey, it's not scary. You know, I'm not afraid, I'm not scary, but I just want you to know how good God is. And I did tell them this. I said, do not let the devil tell you lies. I said, he is a horrible, bad devil, and God is a wonderful, good God. And I want you to know the devil's going to tell you a way that leads you to destruction and death and the loss of everything, and God's going to have blessings untold if you walk it in his ways. So be sure, and don't let him tell you the lies, because they will attack him and tell you all these things that God won't do. And, oh, I can't go that way. I mean, I want to do this, and I've got to have that. I said, it's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. And he's always been a liar and a murderer from the beginning. But God never lies. And when he tells you he's going to bless you, he will bless you till your boots drop off, you know. He is so good. And I said, I want you to never, ever forget this. And don't judge God by your circumstances. I said, hear me. Do not judge God by your circumstances at the moment. Because God's got greater things than you can see. Because his thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. And he's got wonderful things in store for you if you will trust him and walk in his ways. He is so wonderful and so good. So then on Monday came, I had that time with the children. And like I said, sometime I want to share about all that, because that to me was even a greater miracle time for me than even what happened on Monday, which was wonderful. But on Monday I went in for the surgery and the impossible happened. When the doctor got in there, and they had me all ready, he got in there, and that artery was not available. It was blocked, the one that he thought he could use. And he had said that was all he had that he could use. And he said, you know, and I remember him saying, you're the kind, you know, you just think, Lord, let me get her out of here alive. And he was faced with this at that moment. But you know what? God is so great. And what happened was, he told the family after it was all over, he said, you know, I just had that one artery that I had to work with, but he said I couldn't get in there. It was blocked too. I couldn't get the stent in there. But he said I decided, well, he didn't have any other choice. So he decided to try one of the arteries, the bypass arteries that was like eggshells. And he said when he got in there and he got that one done, he thought, well, I think I'll try one more. And so he tried another one and he got another stent in. And he thought, well, this is pretty good. He tried it again. And I didn't know this because he had told me if he could just get one or two stents, he would be happy. And so he said the next morning when he came, the day after the surgery was all over, and he came in to tell me that, you know, he had gotten the stents in. I said, oh, I am so thrilled for you. And I said, you know, you got two stents in. He said, no, I got three stents in. And I said, well, that is just great. I said, that is so wonderful. But the thing is that God was so faithful to make a way where there is no way. Now, that's the same God who provided manna in the wilderness, the same God who had a rock that water came out of, the same God who opened up the Red Sea, the same God who can do all of these things. He is so great. He is so good. He gives life where there's been death. He gives hope where there's been hopelessness. He is such a wonderful, wonderful God. Do y'all hear how great he is? I mean, he takes things that are barren and empty and can't be there, and he makes life out of them. God is just so good. And I remembered what Mary spoke, you know, when the angel came to her. And I had told God this the night before the surgery. And I said, Lord, you know, when the angel came to Mary, and she said, well, how can this be to have a baby? You know, I'm not married. I don't have a husband. And the angel said to Mary, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And then verse 45 of Luke 1, and this is so good. It said that Elizabeth said to Mary, as she was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, blessed is she that believed that there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm in your hands. And I said, I'm looking to you to perform your word. It's not up to me. My place is to believe. It's your part to do. Because I know that nothing will ever separate me from your love. You've given me 81 years now with you, being faithful. And you're not going to change. And whether I'm here or whether I'm there, I've got something to live for. But I want to tell you something else. And I did tell this to the children. I said, you know, I want you to know that life is our training ground. When we have trials that come into our lives, it's our training ground for eternity. We've got a future out there. We don't only have a future here, but a future there. And this is our training ground to be prepared to rule and to reign there. But you know what? He also says that we are to rule and reign with him here. We're to learn to be overcomers. You don't overcome if there isn't something to overcome. You don't triumph if there's nothing to start triumph over. And so things will come. We will have these suddenlies in our lives that will suddenly be there. But listen, they're not impossible. With God, he's got a way. He's got something that you don't see, a program, that plan that you don't know anything about. He's got provisions already set. But we get so scared and so terrified. And you know what? He says over and over and over in his word. Do y'all know one thing he says over and over? Anybody?
Fear not.
And so we don't fear. And I remember Armin, the one thing he prayed with me, the family was all there, and I had almost forgotten it, but Melanie reminded me of this. She said, Daddy's prayed for you, Mama. Do you remember? He said, Lord, there's a voice to be heard, and that voice will not be speaking if it's in the grave. And he said, so, Lord, we believe that you have a voice to be heard, that there's a word to go out of your faithfulness, your love, your power, your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. And so, Lord, we believe in that. We believe that she will be here to do that. Well, that morning when this was on Monday. So when they walked in, I said, well, here I am. And everybody rejoiced. And I'm sure the doctor rejoiced, too. He was very happy that I had come through it. But, you know, it is wonderful. It's wonderful to know that it doesn't matter where you are, what age you are, God is faithful. Just like little Morgan sharing here this morning of how God was faithful to meet her need. Just like he was faithful with Paula. At a time she shared with this young girl where it was seemed so like, oh God, this is a terrible situation. I can't believe this situation. And he was faithful. He's always faithful, always. He will never fail us. You know, it may not come the way we think, but he's at, you know what the word salvation means? You know, when he came to save us, I want to read this to you. Salvation means that to rescue, to save, to deliver, to heal, to be our defender. And isn't he all of that? Whatever time and way we need it, he's there for us for that. So whatever your need is today, God is faithful to watch over his word, to perform it. He is. And so we just have to stand on that word. We have to look the other way when the enemy says, oh, hath God said? But if he's saying it to you, you hang on to it like a dog with a bone and don't let it go. You say, that's mine. I'm going to sit on it, stand on it until. And we've seen people have babies that couldn't have babies. We've seen people be healed that couldn't be healed. We have seen miracle after miracle. We've seen somebody that didn't have a job for 10 months go for 10 months and raise three children and send them to college. Now, that's impossible, is it not? That's our God. That's what he's done in our lives. So, you know, we know how faithful he is, and we just want you all to trust him, to love him, to serve him, to know that his way, as for God, his way is perfect. Even this way for us has been perfect, because I tell you something, I wouldn't take anything for the blessings that have come to Armin and me through this experience that we are just now walking through and are still going to be walking through on Thursday as he goes for that gamma knife surgery. God is so good. Isn't he wonderful? I mean, we just should praise him for the rest of our lives. Our lives should be nothing but an overflow of praise and gratitude. That's why we can praise him in the morning, praise him at noon, and praise him in the nighttime. Because you can't ever praise him enough. And when you do, guess what? The enemy is put to flight. You can't praise God and let the enemy stay there. He's got to run. He flees. But we have got, Jesus has made every provision for us. But we've got to withstand the enemy and his lies. And we've got to say, no, this is mine. I'm walking in it. This is for me. Praise your name, Lord. I'm yours. No matter what, you will not fail me and you will not leave me. God is so good. You know, children, we teach our children. I guess people do that today. We taught ours. God is great and God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Do y'all remember learning that as little children? And that is so true. It's simple, but it's true. God is great. God is good. And we love him with all of our hearts. And my heart's desire and Armin's heart's desire is to serve him the rest of our days and to tell everybody, don't believe the enemy. Believe God. He is for you. He is not against you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your power. We thank you for all your provisions for us. You are so good. You are wonderful, Lord, in all you are and all you do. All we can ever say throughout eternity, no wonder throughout eternity, Lord, we'll do nothing but praise and bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.